Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, Brad, can we just say that we are done being angry about the Disney After Hours event at the Magic Kingdom and talk about it? Because as we record, which is Thursday, April 14th, this is the first night that they're doing it. And there's actually some pretty cool stuff that they're doing. So let's put it out there that we're done being angry. This is gonna be a happy show.
Hey, I never said I was angry about it. It was in conjunction with everything else that I was getting angry. So let's talk about just the one thing, and maybe it'll work out better. I don't know. We'll see. But I don't want to make guarantees.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there. Okay. So no guarantees. No promises. But so basically tonight, the Magic Kingdom is open for people who pay $150 from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. And so at 11, when the park closes, these people, and I think that the estimates were somewhere that they're letting about 3,000 people do this.
Well, okay. So I actually saw that, I believe WDW Magic, was where I picked this up, that it was not going to be sold out. And then it was sold out because, as part of the 25th anniversary celebration for DVC, they let DVC people in for free. So $150 or free if you paid all of your DVC stuff, yeah, which, let's be honest, came out to a lot more than $150.
Shoot, man. I think now it's 30 grand to buy into DVC.
Yeah.
And so, then $1,000 a year.
I don't think they're going to be doing this all the time, but yeah, that was, you know, it's a 25th anniversary celebration. Let's celebrate by giving you some stuff that we couldn't sell at the last minute.
Sure, sure. But so I guess if they had sold tickets, all of the tickets, it would have been about 3,000 people, which is pretty low for the Magic Kingdom. I mean, just talking, if there are only 3,000 people in the Magic Kingdom, and from what I was able to read, the waits for about everything were around 10 minutes. So, if you've got the $150 disposable income, what, being able to be in the Magic Kingdom for 3 hours and basically wait 10 minutes to ride anything you want to, that's open because there's limited availability of attractions. But being able to have a 10-minute wait on basically anything is pretty fun.
Okay, so they're assuming 10-minute waits, right? Because as we're recording, this actually doesn't start for another hour in the Magic Kingdom because it doesn't kick off till 11 and we're at 10 o'clock. But they're just assuming that,
based on the number of people and the number of big attractions. Like, if you only had 3,000 people in the Magic Kingdom, that would be about a 10-minute wait per attraction.
Okay. So let's talk about the attractions, because I'm actually pleasantly surprised with the amount of stuff that's open.
I was expecting, when we talked about it, I was expecting a lot more, the majority of the attractions available at the Magic Kingdom to not be available. But the majority of the things are available.
Yeah. So you've got so all the mountains are available, right?
Right.
And then you've got Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. You've got Haunted Mansion. What, Pirates is open?
Jungle Cruise.
Huh?
Jungle Cruise.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, all of your big attractions are open. And that's kind of what I expected. But then you've also got, you know, like, Country Bear Jamboree is open. The Enchanted Tiki Room is open. Tomorrowland Speedway is open.
Yeah, that's weird. I that's primarily a kid's ride, and what kid is going to be in the Magic Kingdom till 2 a.m.?
I don't know. what kid are you going to pay $150 to have? Well, but again, I guess if you were DVC, you got them in for free. But
right,
yeah, so
that's
there's
true.
So there's attractions like that. Philhar Magic is even open.
Yeah, we'll see. And for me, that's one of the things, like the Tiki Room, that you basically have a cast member to funnel you in, and then the show pretty much plays itself. You know, especially Mickey's Philhar Magic, that's just a movie.
Yeah.
So those kind of things seem pretty low maintenance. Country Bear Jamboree, you know, that's pretty much automated. and low maintenance and just something to kind of eat some of the crowd.
Well, but that's and that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm impressed that they went ahead and did that, because there was some part of me that said, they're just going to throw open, you know, the e-tickets and go good enough.
Right, right.
And so that's going to be helpful for those people who are visiting tonight, as well as, you know, making it, I don't know, to me that it seems more worthwhile now that I know exactly what's going to be open. I'm still never paying $150. Well, not, I still don't foresee myself paying $150 for this sort of a thing, but yeah, I mean, it's a large chunk of the Magic Kingdom is still open for this.
Yeah. And okay. The one and only one really weird thing that's open is Stitch's Great Escape. And again, that is something that you have a cast member to kind of lead you in, and then the show kind of plays itself. But God, like, what a waste. What a waste of your 10 or 15 minute wait for that, you know? Like, just go to Stitch's Great Escape during park hours and be disappointed. Don't waste your 3 special hours in the Magic Kingdom to be disappointed by Stitch's Great Escape.
Okay, so the argument that we're making for Stitch's Great Escape being open is that it requires few cast members to run, right?
That's the only reason I would think it'd be open.
But there are two attractions that are not open in Tomorrowland tonight that I would argue either one of does not require very many people to run.
The TTA is closed.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's no people mover, and there's no Carousel of Progress in either one of those things.
The Carousel of Progress, come on.
Would you?
Why is that closed?
Just out of curiosity, which one would you rather go to, Stitch's Great Escape or the Carousel of Progress?
I would ride the Carousel of Progress 10 times before I go to Stitch's Great Escape again. But what? So why would the Carousel of Progress be closed tonight?
Because Stitch's Great Escape has name recognition,
entertainment value.
Yes, that Carousel of Progress apparently does not have.
Yeah, I guess little kids aren't quite as impressed by the leaps and bounds and innovation we've made from the time when you had to go get a big block of ice and put it in the ice machine.
No privacy. But yeah, so I don't know. I would rather have that open, but I seem to recall, I think over spring break, lines were getting crazy everywhere because it's spring break.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's Disney at spring break, folks. If you decide to go, it's going to be insanity. And lines were even crazy for things that normally didn't have a wait, like People Mover or Stitch's Great Escape. I don't know that I ever saw pictures of the super long lines for Carousel of Progress even then. So that's probably driving some of this.
I know my Twitter feed was freaking out because the wait for the People Mover was like 45 minutes.
Yeah, I just...
That's a long time to wait for the People Mover.
I really enjoy doing that, but yeah, I don't know if I enjoy it 45 minutes. But
well, and it's funny because I've only been on it one time, and... the one time I went on it, the girl that was working offload was like, "Do you just want to go around?"
Just let you go around? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can just stay on if you want to go again. We were like, all right, might as well sit for a little while longer.
Yeah, but I will say, if you spent the $150, I would have like totally skipped Fantasyland during the day. Because,
yeah,
I mean, you've got Dumbo, It's a Small World, Winnie the Pooh, Peter Pan's Flight.
Literally all of Fantasyland is open.
Yeah, is there anything in there that's not open?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, because the heavy hitters are Small World, Pooh, and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And they're all open. And Peter Pan. Peter Pan always has a pretty long wait. But Pooh always has a 30, 45 minute wait. Small World.
Peter Pan usually has like a 60 minute wait.
Yeah. Peter Pan's over an hour usually. And then Mine Train is usually creeping up on 2 hours.
Is Mine Train, which.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I definitely would have just like skipped Fantasyland, like you were saying. The Liberty Square section of this little badge and what we're talking about, we didn't really explain.
Yeah, yeah, you
it.
Should probably they, actually explain what we're looking at and what we'll inevitably retweet.
They gave the people who were there this badge, and it looks like it's just a little bit like maybe index card sized. It's a plastic badge. It says after hours at the Magic Kingdom, and can I just say I love this logo. It's it's very, very like Bewitched, kind of Bewitched, like Nick at Night looking. I don't know how to really explain it. We'll retweet it and I'll put it in the show notes, but I love it. I think it's great. It's fun. It's whimsical, and it doesn't look like anything that they have done in a long, long, long time. But on the back of that badge, it's has a list of all of the attractions open, separated by what land they're in. So basically, you always have on you a list of all the things that you can ride and where they are.
Right, which is very helpful as a instead of, I guess, maybe the alternative being picking up a, and actually, yeah, because for the Very Merry Christmas Party, you got a map, you know, or the, actually, I can't remember if it was like the map for the day had everything, but I think they also gave us a separate map that kind of laid out what was open, where you could go do different things.
Yeah, and the badge is nice because you just wear it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, always it's around
something
your
you
neck.
Have to stick in your pocket. You know, that is one thing that's kind of interesting to me looking at this. Looking at the badge is, so you've got Main Street USA where you can do the Mickey Mouse meet and greet. And then you've got Fairytale Hall, so you've got the meet and greet there, or meet and greets, I should say, there. But there are no actual, there are no other meet and greets listed. And I would be interested to know if they're doing more because, again, I know for a lot of people, that's a big thing about Not So Scary and Very Merry Christmas is mm-hmm. getting a chance. Number one, to do meet and greets in special costumes. And then number two, to do meet and greets where the lines are not
right.
quite as crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say do meet and greets at all because a lot of the meet and greets have longer lines than the attractions do. So I would say that's a really good chance. These kind of events are a really good chance for you to do meet and greets at all. But yeah, on the back of the badge, I mean, there's no real...
Yeah, just the two. And
other
and,
than meet Mickey Mouse at Toon... Meet Mickey Mouse at Town Square Theater. There's no other mention of like special meet and greets or anything.
Yeah, which again, when the map for the when you had the map for the Very Merry Christmas Party, they would actually lay out Jack Skellington will be over here, and you can meet Winnie the Pooh and friends over here, that sort of thing. So you knew that certain locations were going to have certain characters to do their meet and greet. So
right.
I don't know. Maybe that's all that they're doing. But are they not going to have walk around characters at that? Well, walk around characters as they exist currently, which is characters who walk out to a certain location to do meet and greets now.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe they're just doing like trying to just keep it more attraction based. You know, come in and have fun with no lines.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just. And I'm not going to rant, but as long as this is not a replacement for EMH, I don't really have an issue with it, I don't think. And I am, again, I'm impressed with the amount of stuff that they decided to keep open.
Yeah, I would wonder who decided to keep what open and why. I'd be interested to see the spreadsheet that says this is worth keeping open, this isn't. Because, I mean, there's like, I would say that's probably 85% of the Magic Kingdom is open to those people.
Yeah, with the exception of anywhere, well, okay, but, and it is 11 to 2 a.m., but let's be honest, 11 to 2 a.m., if I'm staying up that late and I'm like running around the park, I'm looking for a little fourth meal. and all that you have is Casey's Corner and Main Street Bakery with select menu items available, which I would be interested to know what they selected to make available.
I would bet at the Main Street Bakery it's ice cream.
But why? You're getting free ice cream everywhere.
Are you?
Yeah, because remember, look, on the again, let's just refer to the badge. Enjoy ice cream novelties and select bottled beverages.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, remember, because you could get the, what, I saw somebody on Twitter figure, did the math, and it was like, was it 20-something or 40-something premium bars? And if you could eat that many, you would break even on your $150 investment.
And be very, very sick.
But gosh darn it, you would. I didn't lose any money, and I made it worth it.
That's funny. Yeah, okay, I don't know. Maybe, wait, Main Street Bakery is where Starbucks is.
Yeah, so I'm thinking like maybe some drinks and like sandwiches and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But then Casey's Corner, I mean, what, they got Cracker Jacks? I doubt anybody's going to want a chili dog at 1 a.m., but maybe. I don't know.
Hey, hey.
Florida's full of weird people.
Give me an opportunity to have a chili dog, and I will regret you allowing me to do that, but gosh darned if I won't do it. So, let's see. So, the riverboat's not open.
That's not surprising, I guess.
Well, no. I'm just trying to think.
Yeah.
Laugh Floor's not open.
Yeah. Well, but that is very, very cast member heavy.
Well, and it also requires there to be enough people in there, I think, in order to really make it work. So
true.
I can understand.
True.
You know, we've already covered People Mover, Carousel of Progress not being open. What else isn't? I mean, I think that's literally all the attractions that aren't open.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I was saying. It seems like 85-90% of the Magic Kingdom is open.
Yeah, so, I mean, essentially, you can enjoy the whole Magic Kingdom, and you have 3 hours where there's only 2,999 other people there. Yeah, that's hard to convince yourself that that's not worth it.
Yeah. You know, and like we were saying last week when we were talking about parking, I mean, $150 added on, or, you know, let's say there's two people, $300 added on to a $3,000 vacation. For a night of basically having the run of the Magic Kingdom, I mean, that kind of seems okay, more okay than just thinking about it strictly as $150 a person type of thing.
Yeah. So let me ask you this: a one day one park Magic Kingdom ticket is over $100 now, right?
Yes, depending on what day.
Okay, but.
For the most part, yes.
On average, it's going to be over 100. So let's just say it was $100. So for $50 more, you got in at they started letting them in at 7, right?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, so 4 hours ahead, 3 hours, you get 7 hours in the park, and you don't have to deal with the crowds that everybody else has to deal. Like, would it be worth it to, instead of Like, say you spent all day doing the resorts, you know, and shopping in downtown Disney, and then at 7 p.m., you hit Magic Kingdom, and that's like your park for the day.
So, thinking about it more as, like, just a $50 premium instead of a... Because you're going to go to the Magic Kingdom anyway.
Right.
You might as well just start it really late. Like, go get dinner, and then go to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. Or, you know, get dinner soon, you know, go grab yourself some Skipper Canteen once you get in there.
Sure.
And then go just enjoy your day. Yeah. So, like, maybe you buy a 4-day ticket instead of a 5-day ticket. But of course, I guess at that point, though, then your fifth day, you're talking about a difference of like, what, $20 or something?
Right.
So then, yeah, it's $130 premium. So, it still doesn't really work out.
But it's an interesting thought.
If I was a local,
but
I would have an annual pass already. So, but maybe I'm blacked out. Then I don't know. I'm trying to come up with ways for this to be worthwhile.
Not at Disney World. No blackouts at Disney World.
Cast members had blackouts.
Yeah, but
cast members have blackouts. I'm sure still too. But
there are no blacked out passes at Disney World. Disneyland, the low tier pass, you're blacked out for like 3 or 4 months. That you can't go total, but at Disney World, not only are our annual passes cheaper, but there are no blackouts.
Okay, I guess I don't know.
I'm trying
to think of a way that this is worthwhile, because again, I do see, it's not that I don't see any benefit to having the park with so much a smaller crowd during that time. I just don't know if I just can't wrap my head around spending $150 for that benefit.
Right. Yeah. It still seems like, just like premium parking, it just seems like a premium experience that people with money to, you know, with that money to spend are going to do it. And the thing that I like about this event is that it doesn't throw people out of the Magic Kingdom early, like Not So Scary and Very Merry Christmas Party.
Yeah, because it doesn't close the park at like 7.
Right.
Just so they can do all of that.
You can stay the whole time the park's open, but it gives people the benefit of being there, you know, later also.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. Now that we know, because every time that we've talked about this before, we've been working off what we assumed were going to be the attractions, what we assumed was going. Now that we actually, you know what it is, what's your price? For 3 hours with everything that's available, with your ice cream novelties and select bottle beverages,
I would feel a lot more comfortable if it was $100. I think if it was just a flat $100, and
I was thinking maybe 75 on the high end.
Well, if I could be in there from 7 to 2, or I guess it would be 8 to 2, I don't know. But if I could be in there for 6-7 hours, and like you said, you know, if I'm just going there and all other things being equal, I think, yeah, $100 for that privilege.
What about, so with the morning thing, they're doing like you get a meal and then you're in early too, right?
I didn't know about the meal.
I feel like there was breakfast in. So regardless of, let's just, what if you got table service dining at Be Our Guest and all of it? Is it then are you good with 150?
So in the 150, like a meal is included?
Yes. Probably some, you know, prefix menu.
Yeah, I would say 150 would be worth it then. Because it's so hard to eat at Be Our Guest, I would say that paying $50 for a meal there, you know, after hours special like that, I would say if they threw something fun in like that, then yeah, it makes it a lot more worth it.
Okay. Like I said, I'm just trying to figure out where it is, because like I think
that.
I think for me, the upper limit is still just the 75, I think would probably be as much as I'd be willing to go. And even then, I don't know. I have all day to be there, but I probably wouldn't have gone there today. Because at 7 p.m., there were going to be 3,000 more people coming in.
Right.
And, you know, and the thing is that for most of those people, they were going to just go ahead and go probably anyway. And mm-hmm. they would just be there. You know, yeah. Now maybe they didn't get there till noon, but they got there at noon.
Right. Because, I mean, if you have a park hopper, then you're basically just paying the $150. But, you know, I know a lot of people who spend all day at the Magic Kingdom and then also have a wristband for a not-so-scary Halloween party. You know, I know that a lot of people do that, and so I don't see how this is any different. You know, like you're saying, you could get there at noon on your park hopper, and then at 7 or 11 or whatever,
you walk back out to the front, grab your lanyard.
You collect your lanyard and move on, and then you're there, you know, after hours or whatever. So, I don't know. It's one of those, you know, we talked about that last week, or 2 weeks ago sometime, about having a park hopper and how that makes thinking, you don't have to think about where you are or what you're doing. You know, you can basically get on a bus, go wherever, do whatever, don't worry about it. And I think this is just another thing that kind of doesn't register as, like, people don't think about it like, okay, for me to go from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. costs $100, but I'm paying $150 basically to stay from 7 to 2. But because they have a part, I don't know if I'm expressing this clearly, but I don't think people think about the fact that a one-day ticket is $100, because for most people, they're staying on property, they've got a park hopper, they're using their Magic Band, so they're not really thinking about the value of a ticket in dollars, because their whole vacation was likely a package, you know? They're not thinking about the value of this individual ticket to the Magic Kingdom in dollars, the way that they are thinking about if they're going to do this after hours thing in dollars. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And again, I don't think it's probably a fair comparison to say, you know, a ticket's 100, this is 150.
Right.
Again, because the vast majority of people are already going to be on a, you know, 3-4 day ticket. And at the point where it's between 4 and 5, it's nowhere near $100 to add that fifth day on there.
Right.
So yeah, again, props to Disney for trying something different. It doesn't appeal to me, but it appeals more so.
Yeah.
Again, it appeals more so now that I know that the vast majority of the park is open, and you get to experience it with so many fewer people.
Right.
That was the other thing that we really didn't know, is we didn't know what the number was. And right. and 3,000 is a low number.
Yeah. Knowing exactly what's open, like you said, is a lot better than seeing select attractions.
Yeah, because select just sounds like code for not many.
Right. So, yeah, I think it's a lot better now. It's still not quite worth it for me, but it's a lot better knowing how they've actually executed it.
So this is the way that we need to talk about these things from now on, is our non-ranty way.
And one more thing before we sign off. Brad, next week is episode 100.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Can you believe that? This is episode 99 of our show.
We've been doing this for way too long. That's what I just heard. Thank you. You know what? Thank you to people who actually want to sit down and or drive or whatever you're doing and listening to us just ramble on about random Disney stuff. Because to be honest, we would do this even if there wasn't anybody listening. But yeah. It is kind of cool to look and see, hey, people are actually listening to what we have to say.
Right.
So, I don't know why most of the time, but that's kind of cool.
Episode 1 was December 2nd, 2013. So it's been over 2 years. We got to figure out something special to do for episode 100.
Okay. I'm leaving that in your... Oh. You do all the editing. You're the producer. I'm leaving it in the producer's capable hands to make episode 100 the most awesome thing that has ever happened in Disney podcasting ever.
Thanks, man. So good.
Did I say ever? I meant ever.
Ever, yes. All right. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with episode 100. And until then, have a magical day.